day, the book of Joshua, chapter number 3. It is a joy to be in the house of the Lord this morning. We were in Mississippi this week. The Lord really met with us and helped us there in preaching. It was great to be with some of our friends there. But I want to say it's no place like this place. And I appreciate the Lord this morning. Joshua chapter number 3. If you're willing and able, if you'd stand and honor the reading of the Word of God, I'll read 3 verses this morning. Found in Joshua chapter number 3 and verse number 1. I'll ask Brother Mike, let's mix our service up a little bit. Come here and read that. Help me a little bit. We'll do some tag team preaching this morning. That'd be all right. Brother Mike's our assistant pastor. Read them 3 verses for me, Brother Mike. Joshua 3, 1 through 3.
Amen. Joshua rose early in the morning. They removed from Shittim and came to Jordan. He and all the children of Israel and lodged there before they passed over. And it came to pass after 3 days that the officers went through the host. They commanded the people, saying, "When you see the ark of the covenant, the Lord your God, the priests and the Levites bearing it, then you shall remove from your place and go after it."
Thank you, Brother Mike. You may be seated this morning. Father, we thank you for your time together and how good you've been to us. Thank you. I pray now you let preaching be easy a few moments. Pray you'd bring the things to my heart and mind that I've studied, tried to prepare to preach today. If it'd be one here lost and undone without Christ, I pray that today would be the eternal day. God, they'd make that commitment by faith to you to serve you and trust you. Help us this morning. God, I want to pray for our president, our vice president. God, we pray for our nation. It's in great turmoil. Lord, I know nothing's taken you by surprise, but I do want to pray for our country. I pray for our church, our community, all my preacher friends this morning. God, all the churches across America that's still preaching the Word of God. I pray you'd help them, and I pray now you'd help us today. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. You remember in Joshua chapter number 1 and verse 1, Moses has died. We had preached on our first message out of the book of Joshua on Moses is dead, what now? We must all realize there has been a great change taking place all around us. Every place we go has changed. Everything is different. And so here in this time in the Bible, you'll notice that Moses has died. There was a great commotion. Could you imagine being the family of God and getting the news that Moses has died? Bible said the children of God, they wept 30 days over Moses, but they could not find him, for God had hid him. Now, I want you to remember this. The Bible says Moses was 120 years old. His eyes were not dim, nor his natural forces were abated. In other words, he was a strong man. I remember around March the 17th, around my birthday this year, I came in Liberty Baptist Church, and the church was filled about capacity. Everything we had done the same way. And then the next Sunday, things had changed. Moses had died. I want to remind you, just as soon as Moses walked out and he looked well from the children of Israel, far as I know, the Bible teaches us they never saw him again. For God took him on Mount Nebo and God took him. But now God has raised up Joshua. I want to tell you something. Moses is dead, but our God's not dead this morning. I want to remind you that Moses is dead, but God is very much alive. And so here we preached on the thought that morning of Moses is dead, what now? But then the second sermon that I'd preached that God had put in my heart, out of that same thought and text on Moses is dead, why now? Why now? Well, you remember there's a master worth serving. Can anybody relate to that? Brother Adam, I'm glad there's a master we can raise our hands to this morning. In spite of Moses is dead and things have changed, there is a master worth serving. I'm glad to see these men stand up and sing out of their heart this morning. We don't need formality in church. We don't even need a program. I believe in structure. I believe in doing things right. But it's come to a day and hour when we must mind the Lord. And so I appreciate people will sing because they know there is a master worth serving. I'm glad many of you, you've come all the way far from Anniston, Alabama. You've come all the way into Georgia here on the Alabama-Georgia line today. Somebody said, Brother Ken, the church you pastor. I said, oh, we fight all the time. It's half Alabama, half Georgia. Somebody say amen. But boy, hadn't God been good to you, because you realize there is a master worth serving this morning. Now, I'm glad that you sealed away and you've come in the house of God. You've brought your family. You've got your children ready. And so, you know, you can turn into Fox News today and see what's going on in the world. But I want to tell you what's going on in the Bible as your preacher this morning. And so here we find out Moses is dead. Why now? Well, they found out that they had a master worth serving. Then he said, now something's going to happen different that's never happened in your generation. No longer is Moses going to speak, but you're going to find out that there is a message worth sharing. He said, get in this book and apply it to yourself. Can you imagine in this new generation, this day and this hour, never has there been a man like Joshua that has been instructed to get this book and take the people to the other side with it. He had always heard Moses. Moses spoke to God as a friend face to face. Abraham, all the way back to the book of Genesis, God spoke to Abraham. All the prophets, God spoke to them. But now in this new time, this new generation, they're going to have a book. And you say, preacher, why is that? Because there is a message that's worth sharing. Can I tell you, Jesus saves? Can I tell you, living for God, it still pays to serve God? Can I tell you, there's still some churches going the old way in a new day, in this hour? Why, preacher? Why now? Because there's a message worth sharing. Young people, Jesus saves. Young people, Jesus loves you. He died for you. Young people, there's help and strength in the family of God. Last Sunday morning, I walked in this place for some 26 years now, as low as I've probably ever been in the ministry God has entrusted me with. But I'm glad that the winds of heaven blew through my soul last Sunday. I called Brother Mike Saturday with many questions and many doubts. I'm glad I got somebody on call. I've seen many of you come in and encourage me. Can I tell you, we need each other at the house of God. Jesus said, forsake not the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is. I realize many's got to watch by way of Facebook, but there's nothing that will ever take place of assembling ourselves together and worship our great God in spirit and in truth. Moses is dead. What now? Well, we can't get him up. Can't shock him to life. Y'all, let me tell you. Sort of like these boots I got on. I wouldn't wear them every day, but they look pretty good. Somebody say, you ladies can relate to that. They don't wear good, but they look good. Shake your little Baptist head up and down. But you know something? If I was to leave out of here this morning, I'd walk all the way to Dixon Road in these shoes that don't walk real good, just to get Moses back up. But I want to remind you, Moses ain't coming back up. Moses is dead. And God has hid him. I would love to bring him back to life, but now I can't bring him to life. In other words, the things that we've always been used to has changed. So we've got to learn to adapt and move on across this Jordan and see what God has got for us in the family of God. Many people will lay down, they'll throw their hands up and say there's no use. There's a lot of people have been looking for an excuse to stay out of church, amen. They've been looking for a good excuse. And I'm not belittling the situation. My wife is home today because of uncomfortable situations. But I'm going to tell you, honey, when you use anything to justify, you'll be in trouble. Didn't mean to get on all that, but I did anyway. And it didn't cost you no more this morning. But I want to say I appreciate you being here. And I appreciate you wanting to be a part of this church. And so things have changed. Sunday before last, we had 1,000 people that watched our service online. Things have changed. I can remember days in ours. I'm so old school. I'd say, there'll never be a camera in our church where I pastor. Well, I've never preached to 1,000 people on Sunday morning. So God is doing things in this hour that only God can do. And I'm going to tell you, we as a church body must realize that. And we that can't come and is uncomfortable, we need to stay plugged in by way of electronics and be a part of the house of God. I want to say this to you as an old country preacher. The last thing you need to do is disconnect from the church in your life in this day and this hour. The last thing, young families, you need to do is turn your back and walk out in this world and let these crazy folks bring you into their brotherhood. We need the church, and we need strong preaching. We need worship. We need people that are just mind to God and bring our burdens to the Lord. This morning, Moses is dead. What now? We can't bring him up. I'd love to find them shock paddles and bring him up. Moses is dead. What now? But Moses is dead. We say, why now? There's a master worth serving. There's a message worth sharing. And remember, he sent those two spies across Jordan over into Jericho, and he saved a woman named Rahab. There's a multitude worth saving. Listen to me. I don't care how many people's marching in our streets this morning. They need Jesus. I don't care about skin color. That's never affected me, honey. Every person that's living is a soul. And that soul's going to step out and meet God. You got children. You got grandchildren. You got loved ones. You got friends and acquaintances that's never been saved. But I want to say this morning, why now? Because there's a multitude worth saving. And I'm trusting the Lord to save some of them. I got four grandchildren need to be saved. It's no time to quit now. So this morning, this is what I want to preach on. Moses is dead. What now? Moses is dead. Why now? This morning I want to preach on this thought. Just a few minutes. I won't keep you long. Guarantee you. Moses is dead. Moses is dead. How now? How do we get across? Now, first of all, notice in Joshua 3, the ark was specified. The ark was specified. Watch this. Joshua rose early in the morning. They removed from Shechem. Came to Jordan, he and watch all the children of Israel, some 2.5 million people. And look what the Bible says, and they lodged there before they passed over. Came to pass after 3 days, the officers went through and they commanded the people saying, look what they said, here's your focus. When you see the ark of the covenant of the Lord your God and the priests, the Levites bearing it, then you shall remove from your place and go after it. I want to say anybody ready to go after it this morning. I had a daddy used to wake me up early. I had a grandpa wake me up. He said, look, boy, get out of the bed. It's time to go after it this morning. We as the family of God, we as the church, we need to get up and get after it today. We need to stay faithful. We need to worship Him. We need to tell other people about Jesus. It's no time to go home and turn the lights off. Go after it. Hey, church, are you ready to go after it? Go after it. So the ark was specified. Why was this ark specified? Well, it simply represents the presence of God. You remember that this ark was in the tabernacle. The great high priest there, he would offer the sacrifices for the sins of the people in this holy place. And here upon this ark of the covenant, God would meet with man on that mercy seat. Now they're instructed to do something they've never done. There are to be some priests that is to grab a hold of the presence of God. That precious ark where God had made a covenant, and they're to march out with it. And the people of God are to go after it. I want to ask y'all something. Are you interested in the presence of God? You see, only that will change your life. We live in a modern day when liberalism, modernism, socialism is taking our churches. And now, the average preacher, he's too scared to say what the Bible says. I mean, he don't have enough people to back him up with what he says. And so we need the presence of God. We've got to have the Lord stirring. We've got to have the Lord leading. We've got to have the Lord doing what only the Lord can do for us at Liberty Baptist Church. And I want to go on to say, this nation needs the presence of the Lord. I was so proud of Brother Jody Harrison Thursday. He had texted me and said, I'm going to be preaching down at the courthouse, Asheboro, North Carolina. All the dignitaries got around. They've used this one day as a day of prayer for their city, their town. I wish our town could get interested in God. Amen. Brother Jody pulled his little old Bible out. Brother David got on the courthouse steps. Turned the book of Isaiah and he preached to him a message about God is good and sin is harmful. What are you saying? We need the presence of God. We need the presence of God to lead us. And this is what they simply said. They said, this is how you're going to get across. Now, this ark is the presence of God. You say, well, preacher, this Jordan in my life, I want to ask you something. This Jordan could be people. This Jordan could be places. This Jordan could be any experience that's got you stopped from going where God wants you to go. And this is simply what he said. When y'all see the ark, I want you to keep some space away from it because everybody needs to look at it. Can I tell you, can we just stay focused on God this morning? Matter of fact, between you and your Jordan, why don't you put God between it and you? I've noticed when I try to face the Jordans of life by myself, I become such a failure. But oh, when I keep God in the forefront and listen to what the Word of God says to me, what the Spirit of God is telling me inside of my heart, it's a lot easier to go through your Jordan. You see, the ark was specified. We need the Lord, the presence of God. So now look what they do. He said there'd be a space between you and it, about 2,000 cubits. Come not near unto it. Let me tell you something. Nobody can share His glory this morning. We must keep the hands off of His glory. God is good at what only God can do. And so He says that you may know the way by which you must go, for you've not passed this way heretofore. In other words, you're going to need something because you've never been there before. Young families, you know what you need today? You need the presence of God in your life. Older people, you know what we need? We need the presence of God in our life. And so the ark was specified. He said, let me tell you, y'all are not going nowhere without me. We've got to have the Lord. We've got to have the Lord. So the ark was specified. Now I want to say this. All through this Bible, you'll find conditions that people had to fulfill. Orders they had to obey, and promises they had to believe. See, faith is not believing in spite of evidence, but obeying in spite of consequences. So we see here this ark was specified. Look in verse 4, the people were sanctified. Now I believe this is a very impactful verse for us this morning in verse 5. The people were sanctified. And Joshua said to the people, sanctify yourselves for tomorrow the Lord will do wonders among you. Sanctify yourselves. That means to purify or to consecrate. You see, when God says, get up and go, it's not that He's sending you somewhere, but He's taking you somewhere. Can I say that again for some of you that didn't get it? When God says, get up and go, it's not that He's sending you somewhere. He's taking you somewhere. And church, He's telling us to arise and go over. He's not sending us no place. He's taking us someplace. And I sure do love it when the Lord takes me places. Now, this is what I want you to realize. The people that's fixing the cross, they've been wandering in the wilderness for 40 years. They've crossed the Red Sea. They got up to the borders of this river to Jericho. And they sent spies out. Some come back and said, it's no way we can do this. Joshua and Caleb, you know what God said? He said, because they doubted me, there's nobody above 20 years old that's going to come out of that wilderness. They went back and they all told Moses, we cannot take it. We can't do it. But Joshua and Caleb believed, and God let them go 40 years in the wilderness. They've all died now. God's brought a new generation. And now here they are with Joshua. Brother Mike, could you imagine as Joshua, he holds this book that he's never held. He has a book, and this is what he must do by faith. He must send those priests with that ark in front of them, and there's Joshua following them. And so he says, now I want you to sanctify yourselves. Let me tell you something. I believe with all of my heart, and you listen, this old country preacher, I believe with all of my heart, the reason we don't see more happen in our church today is found in verse number 5. You see, how now? The ark was specified, but the people were sanctified. They got ready to go over, and they cleaned themselves up. They were not dug into the world. Hey, they realized that they needed God, and they were willing to obey Him by faith, and they were willing to take care of the sin in their life. Can I tell you, when you're sitting on the fence and one foot is in the world and in sin and the other's in the house of God on Sunday, you're not going to go no place. Many times, could you imagine if this crowd of people sanctified ourselves, what we would see God do in this day and this hour? And I don't know about you, but I want my heart right. I want my spirit right. Look what it says. Sanctify yourselves. Joshua can't do that for you. That's an individual commitment to the Lord. Well, Lord, you're not pleased with this in my life, and I'm going to trust you to take care of that. Lord, this habit that I find myself in, I know it's not pleasing in your sight. God, I know it's sinful. And God, I need you to help me with it. And God, I've got to help get you to help me to sanctify myself. Yes, we're saved. Many of us are saved. But let me tell you, it's a lot more than just being saved. There's nothing like waking up in the mornings, walking out on your porch, and the Lord speak to your soul. There's nothing like going down the road. Sometimes I've been going down the road playing some good music and throw my hands up, and people will wave at me, look like I'm crazy. I said, I ain't a waving at y'all, I'm a waving up. Amen. Don't be satisfied with us going to church on Sunday. Sanctify yourself. We've got to have the Lord in our homes. Being a Christian is just not on Sunday. It's trying to do the best this Bible teaches us Monday through Sunday. Sanctify yourself. It would be no telling what would happen if this group of people sanctified ourselves of what we would see God do. Did you know that I have seen the Lord move in services and 8, 10, or 12 people get saved one Sunday morning? A preacher can't do that. But only God can do that. And you know, in those days, I believe with all of my heart, we had so many people that was committed individually to the Lord. Let me ask you something. The things you do today, but you wouldn't do them years ago, that don't bother you now? The things that used to bother you years ago, but now you've allowed that to happen and you've adopted it and adapted to it in your life, does that not bother you now? The same Lord that lived in you 10 years ago lives in you this morning. And things ought to bother us. We've become so conditioned in a generation by an iPhone. Nobody blushes anymore. Young children, if that young boy don't love you enough to come to church with you, if he don't love you enough to take care of you, drop him. Young men, pray and ask the Lord to send you a good godly wife that your marriage will make it. Sanctify ourselves. No, we can't save ourselves. That's the finished work on the cross of Calvary. Any righteousness that we will ever have is applied to us by God's dear Son. But we do have an option. We have an obligation to sanctify ourselves. That don't mean we're better than anybody else. But let me ask you something. If I go and I leave here and I go do something this church knows nothing about, I found out there's a God that lives in me that convicts me, and it's up to me to take care of that right then. And we all make mistakes. I'd love to tell you that I don't make mistakes. Oh, I'd love to tell you. No, I don't. Then I wouldn't be living. I'm going to go home and see my grandbaby. Somebody say amen. That means I was perfect. I'm not perfect. I stand perfect in Christ. That finished work will get me to heaven. But there's more to it than Sunday morning. More to it than Sunday morning. I went out this morning to feed my German Shepherd dog, and I looked out and I felt like the Lord nudged me. I went out on the pool house, moved the furniture, and started praying, and the winds of heaven blew through my soul. Can I tell you, could we sanctify ourselves and get cleaned up and go places that only God can do for us this morning? I tell you one thing. Y'all look up here. I'm about done preaching. If I've ever told you the truth, I'm fixing to tell you the truth. God's got my attention right now. I've got to have Him. How now, preacher? How now? Well, the ark was specified. We've got to have the Lord. Wouldn't it be great today that that's holding you back, whatever it is? It may be a sin. It may be people. It may be a hurt. Somebody said something to you. They've done something. And maybe even somebody has died, but it's absolutely got you stopped. Why don't you put God between you and that? And just watch Him. And walk toward Him. Trust Him. Go by faith. So the ark was specified. He said, you've got to have my presence, is what God's saying. We've got to have Him, church. The people were sanctified. See, it was a commitment that they had to do individually. They had to come clean with God. It'd do some of y'all good this morning just to come clean with God. And y'all know something? What I want to tell you today that I found out about serving God, you can be real honest to Him. I mean, you can just tell Him anything because you know why? He knows it all anyhow. Now, there are some things that I can't tell others. You say, preacher, what are you talking? I'm telling you, there are some things comes in my mind that trouble me and discourage me that I can't tell nobody else. But now let me tell you who I can tell this morning. Young people, you know who you can talk to? You can talk to the Lord. Some of your friends may get on an iPhone and text somebody else in a little bit and tell them all about it. But can I tell you somebody that I'll never tell nobody else? Y'all have heard people say this, haven't you? Now, I'm not supposed to say this. And I know you ain't going to tell nobody, but somebody told me the other day and said, now I know you're not going to say nothing, but now this is the deal. So now we get home and say, we got to do social distance. I can't sit by you. But then we get home from supper table and say, hey, honey, I ain't supposed to say this, but. And then it went from that side of the church, and it went all the way down to the Piggly Wiggly and bowed. And somebody say amen. But honey, I come to tell you, there's somebody sitting on the throne high and holy today. You can tell Him everything out of your heart, and He can take care of your situation this morning. And that's good preaching down in Bowden. Somebody say amen. Miss Sherry, far I want to go, come. Come, Miss Sherry. Appreciate her faithfulness to play this instrument. I got three more. I'm going to preach there sometime.